The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. This is Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, one of the co-hosts for today's episode of Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association, where, as you heard, like-minded people gather around the principles detailed in Napoleon Hill's landmark classic book, Think and Grow Rich. Today we will be discussing Chapter 7 on decision, the mastery of procrastination, the seventh step to riches. We will also have a very strong guest, Monique Strong to be exact, who is a longtime listener and fan of the show and fan of the organization, and she will share her insight on the chapter as well. This is definitely one of the highlights and best parts of every show that we have is when we talk with guests, so definitely tune in, tweet out, and connect with your friends on all social media platforms to make sure that they are tuned in and ready for that part of the show. You can join this conversation, and we do want it to be a conversation, by dialing into 661-554-9219 and then hitting 1 on your phone. That's a great way to be part of the conversation, ask questions, share insights, and like I said, we definitely do want this to be a conversation. Helping me guide this amazing conversation are two incredible co-hosts. I have come to know them as friends. They are definitely insightful and just always incredible to be around. And as I introduce each of them, I'm going to ask that they share their ahas from not only Think and Grow Rich, the book, but this chapter in particular. First up is Miss Ann McNeil, the master builder, founder of the International Mastermind Association, and like I said, one of the wisest mentors that I have in my close network. So, Miss Ann, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Galen, and I am every Saturday excited, and I get more and more excited every time we have a guest, and every time we get a chance to communicate with each other about this awesome book. As the founder of this organization, Galen, and being in this book, since I've known you through Black NSA, you know, we talk about it through Black NSA, then we do this show every week. I also discuss this book at work. It is if, oftentimes, it's my first time reading it. What I'm learning, Galen, is to allow the book to read me. As a licensed general contractor practicing in this industry for over 40 years, as a professional speaker, as a coach, and all of those things, it absolutely reminds me of the power of this chapter. Because my aha moment in the decision chapter is at the point the book talks about courage to make those tough decisions. And this week, as I began to reread this chapter, I internalized this question to myself, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the Friday conversation of the book we have. And I asked myself the question, actually on the bottom of page 151, and I'll read it. It says, the value of decisions depends upon the courage required to render them. The great decisions which have served as the foundation of civilization were reached by assuming great risk, which often meant the possibility of death. And so with that, I began to ask myself the question, Anne McNeil, what great decisions have served you as the foundation of your business and your life, which you had to exemplify great risk and great courage in making those decisions? What am I willing to kill or have die? And Gayla, when I tell you, I really resonated with this just one line, this one paragraph, as I started to reread, I could get no further than that. Why? Because the decision I had to make to leave my first job and start in the construction industry, the chance I took, I actually told myself, you know what, Ann, you're the youngest person inside of 2,000 people. You're the only black, you're the only woman, black or white. Where is upward mobility? So I made a decision to leave that job, that corporate job. And I said, you know what, Galen, if it doesn't work, I can come back after 10 years. That was over 40 years ago. The decision that I made to start my business knowing absolutely nothing, the decision I made to get a divorce and then to remarry that person, okay, the decisions that we each have to make day in and day out, they're not easy decisions oftentimes. But the promptness in the decision when you have all the facts and being willing to stand to that decision, that's my aha moment, Galen, and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, man, absolutely. You know, I can certainly relate, and definitely the themes of courage and faith jump out all over this chapter. So I am not surprised that you honed in on that. Because that is absolutely all throughout this chapter. So thank you for that. Our next co-host is Miss Ursula Odom, the owner of Sula 2 Publishing, and I love saying the name of your company. Welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself and share your aha moment from this chapter or the book in general.
Thank you. And thank you for sharing that you love the name, because the name is special to me. It is short for, or an honor to, my grandmother. Her name was Ursula, and they called her Sula. And so I am Ursula and Sula, too, as in Sula also, as Ursula. So thank you very much. Now, as for my aha moment, Anne was really right there with me on that, because years ago I was in corporate America and responsible for about 150 people and directing their actions. And I realized when I read page 160 that making decisions in a large organization like that is easier than making decisions when you're out in corporate, when you're out of corporate America and having to direct yourself and volunteers or people that can come and go at will. Before I go into my thought about that, I'll read what it says on page 160. Those who reach decisions promptly and definitely know what they want and generally get it. The leaders in every walk of life decide quickly and firmly. That is the major reason why they are leaders. The world has the habit of making room for those individuals whose words and actions show that they know where they are going. So when I reflect back on my corporate years, you have positional authority. That means that your position says that you can get things done, and if they don't get it done, out they go. Or their performance does not reflect positively, which means that's money to them that's not going to come to them like they want. But my management style is I like to motivate people to want to do things. And from all indications, that worked really well. I knew what I wanted. I knew who I had to open the door for. In fact, one person said back then that Ursula is like, you work for us instead of we work for you. And she wished she had never said that, because that was so on point. I referred to it so many times, she got sick of me. But that was who I was. I opened the door for the people that were in my department. You didn't mess with them. And we got our jobs done because I negotiated for them. That was easy. But now when I have to decide about me and my company and directing me, I no longer have 150 people that I can point to and say, go do that, do that, do this, do that. I'm pointing to me and a few people around me. That's a little bit harder because your attention is going one place someplace all the time, trying to get all of these jobs done. So realizing that, I am building a team around me that I can begin to offload some of these things so that decisions can come quickly. I know what I want, and I know when I see something, I can make a decision. And part of that is being able to say, okay, this person has this taken care of, I can go do this. Or this person has that taken care of, I can go find another person. That's what my aha is, being in a position where all the decisions do not have to be something I have to do. And I'm working toward that. And every time I find someone that can work with me, it's a good feeling. But I now know why I'm doing this, because I want the decision making to be a little bit easier, because I know that somebody has something taken care of and I can move on. That's my aha moment.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's hard to achieve the level of success that most of us or many of us aspire to if we're not involving others. And so you've got to have that courage that you just talked about in order to do the right kinds of things. So great point. My name is Galen Bingham. I am the leadership strategist. I'm a personal greatness strategist, speaker, author, coach, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to be in Houston, Texas on the 25th. So if you're in the Houston area, I would love to see you at Stake 48 at Jay Daggett's third Thursday networking event. So definitely reach out or search for Daggett Consulting and get tickets. I'd love to see you. My passion is for helping people find their thing so that they can get on with celebrating being the greatest in the world. And my aha was actually kind of eerie. It was actually kind of spooky. And Miss Ann talked about how the book reads you if you read it enough times. And that is certainly what happened to me. This past Monday, I had an opportunity to go back to my middle school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I went to George Washington Carver Middle School and had an opportunity to go back there as I met with some friends and just had a great reunion. And on the way back, I happened to pass through Diamond, Missouri, which is the birth site of scientist, innovator, and conservationist George Washington Carver himself. And so since I'm driving back, and there's the birth site, there's the national landmark, let me stop. So I stop and get out with my wife and my daughter, and we go into the National Monument, which is actually the first national monument ever erected and dedicated to an African-American in the country. And so I'm just really digging this place. And we go into this little auditorium that they have and watch this movie that they show, the biographical movie on his life, partially narrated by George Washington Carver himself. So you hear things that he said as he's going through different parts of his life. it was just really, really a cool experience. At least it was a cool experience for me. My wife, my daughter, not so much, but this is a personal thing for me. And, you know, I watched the entire movie, was sitting there watching through the credits, and I looked around, and I was literally the only one in the auditorium as they were going through the credits of the movie. And at the very, very end, I hear George Washington Carver's high-pitched voice come on at the very, very end, and it's as if the first thing he said was my name. And he said, and I heard Galen, but then he said, sometimes it's not wise to look for too much appreciation. The main thing is to be sure you're right and go ahead regardless of whether people appreciate it or they don't, because in time they will appreciate it. And that just, for me, that was, it felt personal, but it really tied into Napoleon Hill and the things that he's talked about on page 150, where he talks about not being easily influenced by others, and on page 159, where he says that in your search for the secret of the method, do not look for a miracle because you will not find it. You will find only the eternal laws of nature. These laws are available to every person who has the faith and the courage to use them. So, again, just very, very personal for me, but it really did bring this book to life for me, and it felt like the book was literally reading parts of my life, and I started to hit the speed dial number for Miss Ann to have that conversation with her immediately after that. So, again, looking forward to the show. This is going to be another incredible conversation with our guests. When we return, we're going to hear from Ms. Monique Strong, very, very talented, up-and-coming engineer. She's very, very talented in construction space and very, very dedicated and focused to this Think and Grow Rich movement. She likes to call it a movement that has only been around for over 40 years. So please sit tight. Come back very, very quickly after we hear this commercial break, and the next voice you hear will be from Ms. Monique Strong.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief and our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination. The workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number seven is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step eight is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals.
One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Gold, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. I always get a lot out of hearing 12 of the 13 steps, and I really like what was said about decision being the antidote to procrastination, that if you struggle with procrastination, and we all do from time to time, simply make a decision and begin activating it, and that is the antidote to procrastination. So I am really, really excited about this conversation, and if you'd like to join this conversation, please dial 661-554-9219 and then hit 1, and you will be added into the conversation, and you can ask questions, make comments, and draw your own connections. But the most exciting part of this is our ability and our opportunity to talk with Ms. Monique Strong. She is a native Miffian, and she has a Bachelor's of Science in Electrical Engineering from Clark Atlanta, and a Construction Manager Certification from Atlanta Technical College. So a lot of Atlanta roots, and she has definitely made a great use of that. She is just an up-and-coming superstar in the construction space, and longtime listener to the show, and very, very dedicated member of this Think and Grow Rich movement. So with that, Monique, welcome to the show. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you became a fan of Think and Grow Rich.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for the introduction, and I'm so excited to be on this show. A little bit about me. I am, as you said, a native Miffian, originally native Memphian, and I ended up growing up around the construction industry. I always had a fascination with the design and structure of buildings and homes, and my grandfather's and my father was within the construction industry. My grandfather on my mother's father was a carpenter, and he actually built the home that my mother was raised in, and then later on I was raised in. And my father's father had a tile company, and my father actually worked with him in the commercial and residential space within the city. And I can remember times when my father would pick me up and from school and would take me to the office and even sometimes out on sites. And I would just be able to kind of see from, of course, a background safety perspective, my grandfather in action. And I used to remember sitting there, was like, wow, you know, my grandfather, I remember he was doing a residential space and he was putting some tile down for, I guess, a remodeling of a bathroom, and being able to see that and not really understanding at that moment the impact it would have later on. But it was really an awesome experience as I reflect back how things kind of come full circle. So that led me into later on actually entering into the illustrious Clark Atlanta University as an electrical engineer. And I got the opportunity to discover the engineer within me, like what type of engineer I actually wanted to be. There was different, of course, there's always different paths, but within that discipline, I wanted to discover who Monique was and understand the depth of that. And I did get a chance to do that through extensive research. I gathered that what an engineer is one who creates, designs, and serves. They build better communities. They design for corporations. They provide service to all individuals. And even then, in undergrad, that became like an aha moment for me. It was internalizing a really important part of me. I desire to serve. That is the core of who I am. And so that gave me the opportunity to kind of have, at that time, a bit of a foundation of which direction I kind of wanted to go in with in engineering, or just have at least that knowledge was there. And later on, I was able to kind of grab from that. I kind of put it on the bookshelf for a little bit. And then last year was a really crucial year for me where I was able to take that off the bookshelf and really run with it. And that actually inspired that was the trigger that led me into construction management. As far as this movement, this awesome and phenomenal movement, I must say the train was already moving. I just had to jump on. And so I was really excited that I was introduced to it through, of course, the master builder, Ms. Ann McNeil, the founder of the International Mastermind Association, and also the founder of NATWIC, which is the National Association of Black Women in Construction. And that's really how I was introduced to it, through NATWIC. And they had a accountability call that would happen every Friday. And so I just decided, made a decision, which to get up at a certain time, which was, I think it's at 7 o'clock, and actually invest in it and find out more about this. I've always heard about the Think and Grow Rich book and, of course, Napoleon Hill, but I didn't really research it as much until I actually started the accountability calls, and I began to hear these awesome stories of women and men about how it's shaping their lives and how it's changing their mindsets. And I said, I want that too. And making that decision was, of course, just transformational for me, because then I said, let me see how I can apply it to my life. And that's really how it started. And I feel like I've been on, someone has pushed play, and I've been running ever since. So, and been on the calls and listening to the Blog Talk radios and just being inspired. and really uplifted by this positive energy that is within this movement. And just seeing the testimonies of the changing of lives, which is so, to me, just powerful. So with that, that brings me to the chapter we're on, decisions. And so my aha moment from that pretty much comes from one of the pages, and I read this and I was like, it said, opinions are the cheapest commodities on earth. Everyone has a flock of opinions ready to be wished upon anyone who will accept them. If you are influenced by opinions of others, you will have no desire of your own. That was the light bulb, the aha moment, and also it gave me a reflection moment. I remember when I was in the 11th grade, I had an opportunity to go to Europe, and I was excited about it. I was like, okay, somebody presented it to me. There were a lot of course, potential challenges in actually going, of course, coming up with the funds of it. However, I made a conscious decision. I was like, you know, if you want to go, then it's going to be all or nothing. And so I remember praying about it, and I was just like, you know, God, if you want me to go, then tell me, because if you say go, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go full force because I know you said it. And I was sleep one day, and there was this quiet, still voice. I woke up and it said, you're going to Europe. And that was it. That was the only thing I needed to hear. And I just continued to pursue it. I was in high school, and I worked at my first job, which was McDonald's, and I was working those hours to put all my checks toward it, because in my mind, God said I was going. So there was no other doubts. And, you know, people around me were giving their opinions and was just saying, you know, different things. And I understand some of it was out of a concern or even out of love. Totally understand that. But in my mind, I already knew that decision was made. And I had to block the opinions because I felt that it was necessary for me to continue on the path that I had heard. And in that, I ended up having to have right close to the time when I was about to get ready and actually go, I had to have surgery, an important surgery, where I ended up not being able to walk. And I was on crutches, and the doctors are kind of saying, you know, hey, you know, it's going to be a while. You know, you may not be able to go on this trip. And I was just like, in my mind, once again, I knew if God said I'm going, I'm going. So with that, I understand what you're saying. What do I need to do to pretty much to walk again? And, of course, it was rehab. Now, with that, signed up for the rehab courses, and the only thing I could actually afford at that time was probably, I think, like maybe a week worth of sessions. And then after that, we weren't really able to afford it. So my mom really was very supportive and believed that, you know, I was going to walk again and I was going to go on this trip. And she was just so supportive. I said, Mom, if we just learn what it is that they're teaching us at this rehab and do it at home, we can really do this. And my mom faithfully worked with me each and every day. It was painful. It was hard. I cried most of it, but she dedicated her time to making sure that I did each exercise each and every day. What happened so miraculously was that I did not walk with it. I think they gave it 6 weeks. I think I did two. I actually started walking again in two, and I was able to go on that trip. And it was an amazing experience because I decided then that opinions, everyone has an opinion, but at that time I learned early on how to block it and to go for what it is that you feel God is calling you to.
Wow. Wow. That is a powerful, powerful example of living out not only your personal passion, but the principles that are detailed in this book. I tell you what, let's go to a commercial and then come back. And not only do I want to bring in my co-host to ask questions, but I want to hear some more success stories that you attribute to principles that you tie to this book. But let's go to a commercial. We'll come right back, and we'll hear from the rest of our co-hosts.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Well, welcome back. We are talking with Monique Strong, and she is a longtime member of this Think and Grow Rich movement, very, very dedicated, talented, up-and-coming construction leader, and she's been sharing her journey and the success that she's had with leveraging Think and Grow Rich. And I would love to hear, are there one or two things that you can think of that you can point as being success that you attribute to Think and Grow Rich?
Yes. I would think and grow rich. I would say that everything that has actually transpired, especially since last year being introduced to the movement, the changing of the mindset, first having the desire, being able to identify what it is that I wanted to do, and then writing it down, having the faith to move on that. And then, of course, making a decision, taking a risk. I was like, one of the things that I feel was a huge part of the Think and Grow Rich movement was being able to clearly take a risk in a decision that actually ended up being one of the milestones in the turning point in my career. And with
gotcha.
That, I would say that to I've enjoyed one of the things I will say, volunteering with Atlanta Habitat of Humanity, helping to build residential homes. That's a success to me because I get the opportunity to be a part of someone's dream that has manifested into reality. So those are also, to me, that's a success.
Fantastic. Well, those are definitely success. And you know, I hear the tying to the principles of just making a decision. Ms. Ann, I know that you and I talk about that personally and privately about the importance of making decisions. What questions do you have for Ms. Monique Strong as it pertains to this wonderful book and this chapter in particular?
Well, I want to hear about what's happening next, you know, for you. I think that listening to everything you shared and also being a part of your decisions. And I want to just make sure that as we move forward with this conversation, that we all understand that it is a decision that we make moment by moment. For example, there are people who have logged into this show this morning. They made a decision to chime in. Once we made that decision to do this, we could not be doing something else. And what we tend to do is we measure the decision one against the other. And so as you move forward in your journey, can you share with us what's coming next for you now that you are making these decisions based upon the principles of this book?
Mm-hmm. What's coming next for me is making a decision to invest in myself, to become a professional construction manager. That is a decision, to have the increase of knowledge and wisdom and education. I'm continuing to pursue even more avenues to begin to learn more in construction management industry, and also how to be in a contribution to it. as far as through education, whether it's mastering, estimating, and scheduling, learning more about the scope and the budget, and being able to be a part of the organization that I'm currently employed with, Ujamaa Construction, being on that team and learning, continuing to make a decision to have great mentors in my life and to continue to follow the steps in this book, make a decision to read the book and actually apply the principles. Those are things that are what's next steps for me, which is pretty much investing in what it is that I desire to do.
Fantastic. Well, Ursula, I know that you and I were talking about this guest and we're talking about this topic before the show. What were some of the questions that you had for Ms. Monique Strong?
Well, I have a couple of questions, but first I want to go back to something you said when you were talking about your upbringing and watching your family in construction and how that impacted you. And it reminded me of a story in our family where my grandmother's brother, Uncle Sammy, was not at home when a salesperson came to his house, and his wife was talking to him. And the person looked around and he said, "Do you know this house was built out of one tree?" And she looked at him and said, "Yeah, my husband built it." And and that one story is something that we tell in the family because it reveals so much. Most people don't realize that you can chop up a tree and build a house, for one. So that opens up a discussion. So my thought to you, or my question to you, twofold. One, what memories do you have along those lines, things that you saw that had a lifetime impact on you? And then what things do you think you would have done differently if you could go back and change something?
With the memories, I remember actually with my grandfather on my father's side, really being a part, actually seeing that process, like going from him having the small business of the tile industry and actually watching him in the daily functions of every day, sitting there in the office, not really knowing or understanding what was actually transpiring, him getting the bids to do the Mall of Memphis, which was a huge mall in Memphis. I remember him, my dad actually taking me to the mall and walking through the mall, and he pointed out everything my grandfather did. He was like, "This is the work of your grandfather." And those were powerful memories for me. And each store, just laying the tile there, which one you can identify which one was my grandfather's work, and that being something that was, of course, within the family of legacy. We walked through, my grandfather did that when it began, you know. And even my grandfather on my mother's side, just growing up in the house he built, you know, he built it from beginning to end, the whole house, and walking around it and actually being in the presence of something that my grandfather made with his hand. That was tremendous and that was huge. And having that within the family, having that at home, that was the family home, that, and he actually even created, like, there was a garden in the back, and it was just a really beautiful structure. And it was that was the place where the memories was filled of my childhood, being able to grow up in what my grandfather built. That was huge, playing around in the yard that he designed, you know.
You know, as a part of my normal presentation, I have a picture in a book that is of a construction site, and I talk about just what you said, and I am so, so thrilled that you gave that example, because I'm loving it. And the example that I have given in the past is that my cousin asked me to take a picture of him, and he was balancing on a railroad track. And I said, why? And he said, because my granddaddy laid this track. Well, he had no idea what part of that track that his grandfather actually touched, but it didn't matter. He claimed the whole thing. And the sense of pride in this man resonated with me to the point where the picture that I show is of people putting in a three-story hole in the ground that's creating the drainage system for a very prominent area in the city. And it wasn't supposed to be the story of the men on that in that picture. It was the story of the construction. But for me, it was the story of the men. And I point to the picture and I said, your granddaddy could be there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to hear you say that you walked through and could and have identified for you the actual tiles that were laid and know that your ancestor or your family member actually touched them, that's a pretty cool thing. And I love the fact that you shared it or that it's being shared within your family, because that's how I truly believe dreams are made, is when you realize that it was made possible by somebody who actually did it. So thanks for sharing that.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to go to a commercial break, but this has been an incredible conversation with Ms. Monique Strong. If you'd like to join this conversation, please, please, please dial in to 661-554-9219 and hit 1. This is just an incredible up-and-coming leader in the construction industry. She is absolutely doing all the right things, and just want to continue our conversation after this commercial break. So let's take a break. We'll be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back. Please join in the conversation we're having with Ms. Monique Strong as she's talking about the chapter on decision in the landmark book, Think and Grow Rich. And want to bring in my co-host to share their ahas from this conversation. But before I do, I've got one more question for Ms. Strong. We talked a lot about legacy and how you've got you're able to have such pride in your work because you can draw a direct connection to your family, to your ancestors. I've got a daughter who is just now starting to look at colleges, and she's starting to get a feel for the areas that she's passionate about. What advice would you give to her about the construction industry? Because that's not something that that she is naturally thinking about. So what advice would you give to her about possibly entering into that industry?
I would recommend, number one, to just do your research, especially there's so many layers within construction, whether you choose just the general construction industry or construction management, there's so many dynamics to it. So just definitely doing her research. My second tip would be to listen and engage. I think that is just being able to kind of listen to people that are within the industry that may have that are doing some things that she may have some interest in within construction, and then engage, be a part of some of the things that they're definitely being a part of, and begin to be very supportive of various different organizations and get active, because that's the greatest way that you can actually learn within the industry. My third tip was to find a mentor. For me, my mentors are, you know, I've definitely were able to tap into some awesome mentors like Dwayne Cheatham, who is the director of construction for Skyline Engineering and Construction. Of course, Ms. Ann McNeil, the founder of NatWick, and just others that have really been able to kind of just be mentors, maybe not even knowing, just watching the mentors and just seeing what they do and asking questions and just being engaged and being able to listen to the nuggets that are being poured down. And my final tip would be internships. I think after the first year, the first semester is very important to go right into an internship to begin putting that practical knowledge into real world experience. And the last tip is just enjoy the process. A lot of times I think as students, we're so quick to want to finish and to kind of get out there. But throughout your process, enjoy the process because it's a process for a reason.
Well, thank you for that. I'll definitely pass that along and maybe even have my daughter listen to this episode because advice from other experts tend to have more weight than advice from dad. So thank you for that. Hey, we have a caller. So I think it's Sharon. Welcome to the show, and please join the conversation with Ms. Monique Strong.
Good morning. Yeah, you're right. This is Sharon, and I have a lot to say, but I will try and make it succinct. I have totally enjoyed the conversation. And I guess what I want to ask about is this. No, let me make a statement, and then I'm going to go ask the question. I've enjoyed the idea of laying the foundation based on your forefathers. And the fact that the Bible does say that there's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us, supporting us, and rooting us on. And those great kind of witnesses come your mother, well, your grandfathers and your great aunts and uncles. So the question is, how do you, day by day, how do you use your time to think and allow the Spirit to be able to continue to guide you forward? I heard Miss Ann say, what is next? And how do you think and how do you lay the foundation, that spiritual foundation that comes into the physical, and move forward to the next thing? Because there is always a next thing. And every day we are laying the foundation for the next thing. And then you are the foundation. You are going to be the great cloud of witnesses for your nieces, your nephews, your children. So how do you bring them into the fold? Because they think differently. You watched with pride and you walked around and you did all this stuff and you absorbed. They think differently. Young kids now or younger people, they absorb differently. So the question is, how have you been watching and how do you bring them along? How do you make this interesting for them? How do you, you know, how do you shine that light into their lives and say, don't be inward out, kids. Don't be swayed by what you see, because we're very feely, we're very touchy, we're very reactive to what we see. But it's very important for us to operate from the inward out. I'm hoping that you understood my two questions. There are really two questions in all my words.
Thank you, Sharon. I did understand your questions. So what do I do spiritually? I spend time with God. I mean, I get up early in the morning because I can't pour out to anyone else until, you know, I feel like I've been poured into. And so throughout this whole process for me, it's like I have to have my cup full before I can actually give to someone else. So, yes, just having that prayer time with God in the morning, having those moments to just reflect and sit and be guided by instruction. What is it that he will allow for me to do? What is next? Writing down the vision and saying, this is what I would like to accomplish. What are the steps? Because I don't know. I will say that one of the things that I have learned is that a lot of times, even last year was a very transformational year for me, was that being able to take a decision, take a risk and walk, even in uncertainty, but there's a guiding light. So throughout that, and I feel for me, that is God. And so being able to process that and utilizing the knowledge, the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to continue with the path. I feel like he's laid out this whole foundation for me, even from the beginning, even starting going back to school and getting the construction management was all part of the plan, being able to be engaged and meet the people that I've met, these phenomenal people, and being a part of this Think and Grow Rich movement is a part of the plan. So just listening. And then being obedient. How do I actually share this with my family, cousins, and it's pretty much what I can do is share the knowledge. I am 100% that person. Is that if someone pours into me, I want to pour into somebody else. I want to share. I'm a sharer. So any information I have, I automatically share with other people, and making sure that they have that information, because not everybody knows how to share. And so having the knowledge that they need, whether they want to be in construction management, whatever it is, but being there and having that support with construction, if they're interested in that, there are various different opportunities to kind of go through it. And I've shared many times with family members, friends, coworkers, those opportunities and resources. So just someone did it for me when they moved up. They brought me along. So my goal is always to bring somebody else up as well. And then they pass it forward. I hope I answered your question.
Out of the Atlanta area, please ask your question.
Yes, my name is Marlena, and I have a question for Ms. Strong. Ms. Strong, my question is for, I noticed that you said that you went to Clark Atlanta University and you majored in electrical engineering, and now you are in the construction industry. For someone such as myself who has been to undergrad and majored in something, and is now at a point in time in my life where I feel like I want to transition into something different, what advice would you give someone who feels that they have invested time in one industry, and even if it's related, but wanting to shift to another? How did you stay encouraged in the process? How did you go from electrical engineering to construction and stay encouraged to and not feel kind of all over the place, if that makes sense?
Thank you, Marlena, for the question. It does make sense. I would say from going from electrical engineering into construction, I believe that everything had to do with it was prayer was the foundation. There were times when, of course, with the transition, sometimes you have your ups and lows and your downs and not really sure if you're actually going the right way. But I do truly believe that throughout the whole process that there's always confirmations that continue to keep giving you that stamp of approval. I feel that being an electrical engineer, having that experience going to school for electrical engineering, it was all relative. I think everything that we actually are going through, or every industry that we're actually in, is tied to the next level. It's giving you something that can be a foundation, a standing point for your next level, not knowing that the degree from Clark Atlanta University will even tie into it. As I mentioned earlier, it actually helped me to understand what type of engineer I wanted to be. I was going for electrical, not knowing that I kind of wanted to move more into the construction aspect of it. And then that was something that I actually took off the shelf later on. It was in a reflection. So I say to you to be encouraged. that whatever industry that you want to transition into, I feel that what you're doing now is going to be that elevation, that stepping stone for that next level. And utilize the skills and do a reflection and find out exactly what have you learned from that industry that can interchange into the industry that you want to go into.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you for all this great inspiration and advice. At this point, I'd like to bring in our co-host and just ask, what are some of the key ahas that you've taken from this conversation? I'll jump in and go first. You know, some of the key things that really jumped out to me, I love in the beginning where Ms. Strong talked about she sees her role as to create, design, and then serve. And boy, you know, although those principles seem to be serving her well in the construction industry, I see those as life principles that could also be great advice to almost anyone. And then I also draw a lot of connection to, again, my personal experience with my trip to George Washington Carver's birth site, where he talked about his 4 a.m. Time with the great creator, and that's where he got all of his inspiration for all of his inventions, all of his knowledge he attributes to that time, that 4 a.m. time with the great creator. And I hear a lot of reinforcement, a lot of encouragement from Ms. Monique Strong with her experience as well. So those are some of my ahas. Ms. Ann, what are some of yours?
Mentioned my very first, yes. Galen, you actually mentioned my very first one. I wrote down the analogy she made between an engineer that actually designs, creates, and serves. And what I also liked, Monique, about what you did in your responses that were ahas for me, and I could not write fast enough because I'm listening and then started writing, and then you went to more lists. The way you actually gave your 1, 2, 3 tips, your 1, 2, and you did the same thing with Sharon. All the way through the program, you gave your 1, 2, 3 tips. And I think that was very helpful for the listener to understand those points. And so Galen just mentioned another one in his response, but I just really enjoyed your growth. I'm enjoying, not enjoying past tense, but current tense and future tense in terms of watching you grow and remembering how you came into our, I'll call it tribe, between IMA, the book, and then Maverick, and now the new job that you have and the decision that you had to make to release your old job, go into your new job, which takes you closer. And then finally, Ursula mentioned it earlier, and that is, as you were sharing your story about your grandfather and your father, both sides, it reminded me of all of our stories, because a very long time ago, that's the only way our parents could have a house if they built it. They may have gotten the land, but they had to build it or get one of their friends to help them to build. And as builders in the construction industry, we've gotten away from that. But what you helped me to do and the action I'm going to take for this show through Navic is to circle back around. I was writing an article for our newsletter on the fact that we have generations in this industry, which encourages us to go into the industry. But we're overlooking that small fact. And so I am just very appreciative of everything you shared. And that's it for me, Galen, and we'll talk afterwards. Thanks.
Well, fantastic. Ms. Ursula Odom, what were your ahas from this conversation?
Well, I think you heard some of them as I was asking her questions. You know, with my loving gathering the story and preserving the stories, those were the things that just resonated with me. And I so appreciate that she shared it in such detail. And the other thing that I really liked is when she was talking about walking and the fact that she may lose her ability to walk, and she never gave up, and her mother being supportive of her, and just her dedication to success in all areas. That was wonderful to hear. And then actually, Galen, your story about George Washington Carver was inspirational to me as well, because now I am going to look into going to wherever it is he was born, because I love the fact that they have done that, and that is historic. And those are the things that I tap into. I actually have him on a wall, a legacy wall at Booker T. Washington's elementary school. So now I want to go see that for myself firsthand, and thanks to you. All right. Well, it's been a great show, and I absolutely have loved every moment. Thank you, Monique, and everyone.
Fantastic. Definitely worth going to Diamond, Missouri. It was definitely impacting to me, and I think at some point to my daughter as well. So, Ms. Monique Strunk, thank you so much for the conversation. This has been fantastic. Any final thoughts from you? Any ahas from the conversation that you'd like to share?
Thank you guys so much for having me on the show and for introducing me to this Think and Grow Rich movement as I continue to grow and develop and apply it. One of the things I do want to say to the callers, just thinking back to some of the questions that were asked, is that I want them to know that a lot of times in the book, it talks about how sometimes you don't really know the process that the person gets through. You kind of just see the shine. But during the process, that's when the diamond is being, I feel the diamond is being created to shine. And so a lot of things I would say, my last comment would be, all of it is necessary. Whether you're in the industry right now, you want to go into construction, or you want to do something else, and you're not actually in the actual field. I've experienced that, not actually being in the actual field, but knowing, understanding that where I want to be, and just understanding that the process is necessary. There's something that you're getting out of that actually will pivot you into that next level. And I must say that even from another mentor of mine, Tressa Walker, I've learned that through just coming out of the previous role that I had that actually helped to was the launching pad for the current role that I have right now. So in everything, it's all necessary. And if you continue to make the decision and take the risk, if you jump, there's going to be a foundation that's going to hold you up.
Fantastic, fantastic. So that's a great way to end this conversation. This has been another episode of the International Masterminds Blog Talk Radio discussion of Think and Grow Rich. This conversation has been with Ms. Monique Strunk. Fantastic. I encourage everyone to share the replay of this conversation. It will absolutely bless you in ways that you might not even be able to imagine at this point. This has been Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, and I'd like to leave you with the words of Andrew Carnegie, who was very, very instrumental to the creation of this Think and Grow Rich process. And he says, concentrate your energies, your thoughts, and your capital. The wise man puts all his eggs in one basket and watches that basket. And with that, I want to thank you. Until next time, take care.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002. 2002.